The Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve. As we listen, really, to the readings, they not only speak about temptation, but I think connected to that word or experience of temptation is also the concept of possibly obedience or disobedience. And so it takes us to the first reading from the book of Genesis, a place, really, of abundance. Adam and Eve had everything. And yet the devil or the scepter came and said, in the middle of the garden is this wonderful tree. You'll be okay if you eat it. Eat of its fruit, huh? And they were told by God, you can do anything else but not eat from that one tree. This abundance maybe wasn't enough. And that's contrasted by really Jesus going into the desert, a place of lonely dryness, a place of poverty, a place where there truly is not much. And the Son of God there was also tempted. But it is Jesus who shows us fidelity to the gifts and the ways of God. On this first Sunday of Lent, we always hear about the temptations, especially that of Jesus. And so we might ask ourselves, what little delights in life might tempt us? What is hard to resist in my life when I know something is not good? It might involve a diet or indulgence, exercise or relaxation, fiscal management or maybe a little extravagance. Luxury tempts us to give in and enjoy life. Experts would say that every small temptation, however, exposes a means of a larger temptation. Jesus' encounter with Satan details the means and substance of temptation. So we think about, why are we then tempted? And one of the words that surfaces that really to test our true self or maybe our true character. Now think about it when it says, the gospel says, at the time that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil, that's right after his baptism, he was affirmed and acknowledged as God's Son, the beloved Son, in whom he was well pleased. And right away, the Spirit leads Jesus into a place of challenge, of temptation. When we think about our lives, you know, sometimes maybe to realize that temptation is part of God's plan too, to help us and to test our character. And sometimes in the desert, just like Jesus, we can measure our own resolve and examine really what maybe becomes our temptation that might lead us into sin. It helps us examine who we are before ourselves and who we are before God. Now, as we even further think about the temptations that Jesus experienced, the three, that really there may be connected to a question in which Jesus tries to reveal some wisdom. One scholar says that a question that might be connected as Jesus is led into the desert is, what kind of Messiah will he be? Satan tested Jesus not only with food, mighty deeds, and power, but he tempted the Lord with three popular views of the Messiah. Would he be a caregiver, a wonder worker, and truly the only source of power? And so we think about, like I said, that Jesus was God's Son. And so the first temptation declared that he could provide for himself and others all that they need. But Jesus carefully responded, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. His focus always comes back to the greatness of God and the goodness of God. And then we would learn that possibly salvation cannot be found in material things like food, shelter, clothing. It can be found only in a faith relationship with God, one that is honest, one that is humble, one that is true. The Messiah then would not provide a safety or a social net. He would endure. The second temptation might also help us think about a true relationship that's implied by Jesus' title. But it's also that this trust relationship that Jesus had with the Father would be tested, and proof of trust sometimes is one that unfolds in public. I can trust you because I see you, I know you. And Jesus then reveals that to the nth degree at the end of his life on the cross. Truly, he was the Son of God. And so we think about our journey and how we acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God, who also was tempted. And that Jesus would not only prove his trust in public, but he would reveal again always this heroic acceptance of not only temptation, but one of endurance, one of resolve. And then we think of the last temptation. Ironically, it's one that really Jesus already had. As God's Son, he was already Lord of all creation. But the devil took him up the highest mountain, and to realize that mountains are places of grandeur and beauty, but they're also a place of closeness to God, huh? Sometimes in scriptures, we might say that the mountains are where God speaks, so it's a pulpit, revealing the highest truth. And so as Jesus is taken up there, he was supposed to bow down and worship the devil and the things that he was providing, rather than look up and honor the Heavenly Father, which Jesus chose to do. And so in the end, we know that Satan could not use maybe physical things, physical cravings such as pride or lust for power, to turn Jesus from his Father and his mission. That's the power and goodness of Jesus. He's the one reverses this act of obedience, the act of disobedience, into one of obedience. Even like St. Paul in the second reading today that talks about this one act, that Jesus is the one who not only died for us, but he came to show us the greatness of God's power. But we have to turn to him. When we also look at temptations in our lives, that Lent is a time to be aware of not only maybe our sinfulness, but on a deeper level saying, what brings me to this point? And so at the root of temptation are what we would say are capital sins or vices, such as pride, greed, envy, anger, lust, gluttony or sloth. These vices replace the vision of good with maybe the illusions of self-fulfillment, self-power, and self-advancement. And just think about Adam and Eve. They had everything, and yet they were enticed to maybe say they would want more. So maybe greed kind of infiltrates into their lives or becomes an infection where they want more and then they want to know more. But they already knew enough. So it invites us to think about ourselves. Do we prefer only ourselves, or do we reject others and God? So it's again about that relationship. How do we honor the one God? How do we honor others and ourselves? And thus we come then to this analysis of not only temptation, but how does God want us to respond? And what are the lessons we might learn from temptation? So scripture scholars would say that we become trusting, believing, and faithful people when we wrestle with this givenness and crisis in our lives. And so we trust in the power of God and not our own. We can also learn from our failures, from our times of sin and even temptation, because they help us grow as disciples. But Jesus gives us not only encouragement, but again, sets the goal high so that we can strive for something that is worthy, the kingdom of God, eternal life, life in abundance. Lastly, we can also maybe think about, like in the desert where Jesus was, and maybe in our own lives, we find ourselves in the desert. Certain things are dry. Certain things maybe seem, or there was a boundary or a wall between us and God. and to say that how does God invite us to maybe break that wall down? That the desert is our own aloneness, our own wrestling with God, and maybe our restlessness. And so to be fully human is to be incomplete, unfinished, and to be away from home. And so the Lenten journey helps us know that we do need God and that there's a greater purpose. His joy, his peace, his love, his mercy. And so as we continue this Lenten journey, it is my hope that we not only are willing to turn to God and sometimes examine our lives, but also realize that maybe we need to detach ourselves from certain things that can help us bring or come to a fuller picture of who we are and what is the truth and the wisdom of God. Things that help us be aware also of our need for God and his holy power, his incredible guidance, and most of all, his assurance of love. We can also be confident, just like their psalm response says, that when we acknowledge not only our sin and our struggles, that God is merciful and always is one who never gives up on us. That's probably the greatest news. And Jesus shows us that as he says, "You shall love the Lord your God, him alone shall you worship." And when we do that and have great intentions, that in the end, God is one who brings us to a place of victory, of hope, and of joy.